It's Thursday the 9th of something or other, must be June I suppose, 2016. This allegedly is the Grouchy Club podcast. We're trying to do it from a cafe in Kenya, in Nairobi, aren't we? To bore a mood in glorious London. And you're in a fine mood, aren't you?
Oh, if you thought that at any point during any of our Grouchy podcasts I had started a bit, how can I put it, grouchy, you ain't heard nothing yet. It's just... fucking hell. Okay, just stop me. Just
stop
taking a fork from the cafe and stabbing myself in the eye.
No,
tell me something
stop.
Good, no. John. Tell me something good.
There is nothing good, so do it. Go with the fork. We can actually sort of send you money to do the thing with the fork.
God. Well, I know some people would.
Yeah. We had to phone each other half an hour later than we intended because, for why?
Oh, hang on. I know what's wrong. Hold on. Ah!
Cop 6 now stabbed herself in the eye with a fork.
Oh, God. Something hideous has happened.
Yeah, she's looked in the mirror. It's been horrendous.
No, I've got my...
Your camera, which...
Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, hang on. There we go. Hang on. There we go.
It's probably better if we don't tell them what went on there.
Oh.
Your camera went.
No, I had my headphones on the wrong way around.
Of course you did.
Yeah, no, I'm homeless, really, and looking for a place to stay. And... because I was trucked out. Well, I spoke to my ex-landlady and she said basically if she allowed me to come and stay at her place because I help gay people, it would be tantamount to her helping gay people, and that is contrary to the scriptures.
And why are you helping gay people in her view?
Oh, well, I'm helping gay people because I help them start up businesses because they're very marginalised. I give them condoms. I pay. I help with hospital fees. I help with medical treatment because a lot of hospitals won't treat gay people here. The latest, get this. The latest in Kenya, I had a meeting just the other day, and they're stopping free ARVs in Kenya.
What's an ARV?
Antiretrovirals. For HIV.
And is that to do with cost?
It's to do with the government's... Well, I only wish that the people who think we are absolute cunts, and I quote them, could meet the Kenyan government. Anybody in the Kenyan government. Everybody in the Kenyan government. You want to meet an absolute cunt? You meet them. The Médecins Sans Frontières. I like to... Just say that again because it's fun. Médecins Sans Frontières.
This is a great name, yeah.
Had clinics in some kind of hotspots, Homa Bay, Kibera, Tana River, various kind of like HIV and sexual health hotspots. And they're withdrawing, and nobody's quite sure why. But what they're saying is that their clinics will be, and I quote, handed over to the Kenya Health Authority. Now that means that nothing is free, everything turns to shit, and thousands of people die, basically. So I wanted to start off this international podcast on a high. Yeah, but let's face it, it can hardly go downhill from here. Apart from, I, I don't get online much here, but I caught a part of the tail end of the kerfuffle of the luscious Ariane Shireen's racist jokes hoo-ha.
Oh, good grief. Okay, go on.
I know. Well, I mean, I got techie with Christian Talbot, who I thought was being a bit of a...
Oh, hello. We'll never know.
Disingenuous twat. But are you...
Oh, hello. You're breaking up for some bizarre reason.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah, we're back again, yeah.
I'm back. Am I back?
God is telling us not to do something. Carry on. Yeah.
Oh, dear. I was saying, I caught the tail end of the Ariane Shireen racist jokes are funny, hoo-ha, which I thought was very well written. And as we both explained, she doesn't write the headline. None of us poor journalists do. But I was reading some of her, you know, riposte and whatnot, which included... an absolutely hysterically funny Paul Sinner joke, which I'm assuming all these people would think was also racist and appalling. You know, I've got an app that locates all the middle-aged Asian men in London. It's called Uber. Hilariously funny, but that, I mean, that I think the Chatterapsy would count that as racist. Anyway,
the argument really was, wasn't it, that you can tell racial jokes without the racial jokes being racist?
Yes, but apparently not, according to some people. And then all the it was tended to be, from what I could gather, an awful lot of white middle class male comics who kind of piled in. I hesitate to say piled in on top of Ariane, but, you know, piled in. And I just saw, it kind of flashed up, her saying to somebody, please don't call Kevin a wanksteen. So somebody had taken it upon themselves in the course of intellectual argument on the topic of why racial jokes are not funny, to call her son a wanksteen. In whose world?
Whose son?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this white middle class male. Oh no, it wasn't. Sorry, it wasn't. Called somebody Kevin a wanksteen.
Yes.
Now, kind of in whose world is that not offensive? That's quite a nasty thing to say about anybody.
Well, I think calling us cunts was either offensive or right spot on. I don't know which. We both got called cunts, could be said to be fair. Yeah, could be fair. Fair comment. Anyway.
Well, certainly me.
It's gone.
You said there was nothing good. Now, John, you're holding back. I can't tell you. My excitement in my tiny, freezing, damp, I can only describe it as a cell, in the arse end of nowhere, I read...
Enough about Shepherd's Bush.
I read a text that said that Bruce Desso, the small but perfectly formed doyen of Comedy Critique, is going to be one of the judges on the increasingly prestigious Malcolm Hardy Awards.
He is. So it's going to be you, him, Jay Richardson. Who else? There's two others. Who are the other two?
You.
Oh, me. Okay.
Claire.
Okay, Claire Smith and Marissa Burgess. So all top-notch people.
I think we've reached a critical mass. A critical mass of judges. Did you see what I did there? Critical mass. I think that's very exciting.
And I have yet to tell the British public about this. I mean, they may know by the time this is actually put online. But yes, it's one wonderful judge.
Well, our listener will tell them.
He will indeed. He'll be phoning
if he's not in America.
I think he's in Guatemala at the moment.
All right.
Anyway, also, we get off that subject.
Right.
I don't know if you saw, but in the List today, which is the Southern Scotland equivalent of Time Out, there was an interview with the lovely Ashley Story. Who was asked, what's the best piece of advice you've received from another comedian so far? And her answer was, it's just a job and everyone has a bad day at work. Because everyone, all the comedians, of course, are hypersensitive and thrilled regularly. But it is just that they should really think, I'm doing a job of work and sometimes it's shit, sometimes it's not.
Can I say something controversial here, John?
You can.
It's not a fucking job of work. God's sake, get a grip. In whose world is it a job of work? Come on, answer me. It's not a job of work.
Well, I was going to say I did that in the wrong order, because she also said, to do with racism and things, I read about, or PC-ness, I read about a school in the USA where they cancelled yoga classes because it was an appropriation of another culture and might offend people. So why did the chicken cross the road? Could probably end up being offensive to people who can't cross roads or chickens.
No, absolutely.
Insulting all comedians there. Carry on.
No, well, I don't care. It's not a bloody job of work.
What is it?
I don't know what it is, but it could hardly be described as a job of work.
It's difficult, though, because, I mean, everyone in this pal thinks they can be a comedian. They all want to be comedians. They're also propping up bars and going on open nights saying, I can be a comedian. And it's bloody difficult.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, I think for people, for people at the top, it's like people say acting is a job of work. It's not a bloody job of work. Acting is playing make-believe for money.
That's difficult,
That's
though.
What acting is.
Very few people can
not.
Do it. The reason people get high...
Oh, get real.
Well, you can do it.
There's a very... Now, it was... There's a show coming to Edinburgh for the Fringe. I think, will be fascinating. I'm gagging to go.
Gagging?
Because I feel it will prove, I think it will substantiate my long-held views that, you know, acting is not a job, it's just playing make-believe for money, and stand-up comics are, it's not really, it can't be called a job unless you're Jimmy Carr or Michael McIntyre. And, you know, especially the improv, you know, that's not a job for a grown man. And this...
or woman listener.
This show, or woman listener, or now, John, you see what we've just done.
I think there's only two sections.
We've insulted all trans people.
No, I'm not. They're all men or women.
We've insulted trans people, and we've insulted gender fluid people.
No, they're all men or women.
I don't know who else we've... There's bound to be another category by now, because I've been in Kenya for a week.
Copsick, they're all men or women unless their organs would be grown inside a pig, in which case it's arguable.
Oh, John, we're going to get we're going to get emails, we're going to get tweets from twats.
About pigism.
About only two... Oh, this is... Whatever I've said...
Well, if you're...
This could be the nadir of the cuntiness of... I don't know if I'm even allowed to say cunt. Cunty cockiness of the Grouch Club podcast.
But if you're trans...
To say that there are only two sexes. John, listener, I would like to distance myself from this appalling transism on behalf of Macaulay... Mr. Fleming.
But if it's transgender, you've gone from one gender to another, i.e. there are two genders there.
But I think you have to appreciate in this day and age, John, that you see, I'm a cis woman.
What's a cis?
And I'm different. A cis woman is a woman who was born a woman. And that's different, John, from a trans woman. Who is a trans woman who has transitioned.
So am I?
And you're a cis male.
Shouldn't I have a bro
and
male?
And that means... You're a cis male who identifies as heterosexual, even if it's been a while, and you're different from a trans male, is also different from gender fluid, John. I think you'll find.
I'm a bro male because I was born a bro, and I'm going to end up a bro because I'm one of the bros.
See, I think we could be heading for a rape apology type hoo-ha here on this one. What I was going back on, now I'm steering you into the safe waters of a show called, I can't remember, but what it is, it's Colin Mochrie, you know, the one of the American guys from Whose Line Is It Anyway? Hugely brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And a hypnotist.
Ooh.
Now, the first thing that happens is that the hypnotist gets 10 people from the audience and hypnotises them and says, you're brilliant improvisers. You just, you know, you can, it's just amazing the way you can come up with something brilliant out of thin air. And once they're hypnotised, he kind of does a few tests, chooses the five best, and then Colin Mochrie comes on and does a whole, like a Whose Line Is It Anyway improv show with them. It is my opinion that the only difference between an intelligent, reasonably funny person and a brilliant improviser is the fact that brilliant improvisers have absolutely no inhibitions.
Yeah.
Whereas normal people, you know, or to put it another way, they have a massive ego about their own comedic talent. Whereas normal people would go, I won't say that, it's not funny enough, or better not do that, it's not funny enough. But improvisers and seasoned improvisers don't.
But there's also a show at the Fringe, something about which you inspired, didn't you?
I'm amused, John.
I am amused. Taking the piss, I think it's a selling line, taking the piss.
Yeah, hilarious. Apparently, in 2012, I wrote the line, if you've got trouble, because I do get very pissed off. God, this is hilarious. I hope you're going to write this down. I do get very pissed off at people who come into shows and then 5 minutes later they leave, either because they're raging alcoholics and can't spend 5 minutes without some more booze, or because presumably they have incontinence troubles, and having come in, sat down and spent 5 minutes, they need to go and have a pee. So I said, you know, if you can't control your bladder for 50 fucking minutes, you need to go and see a doctor, not go and see a show. Rather clever, I think. And this inspired this marvelous woman, who actually, she's not a comedian in common with at least half the shows up in Edinburgh in the comedy set. She's not a comedian.
I should point out we were breaking up quite badly.
Oh, sorry. Well, you're not breaking up.
That's because I'm not saying anything.
Ah. Okay, sorry. So I said, you could do a clever edit. Yes, so 2012, I apparently wrote, because I got pissed off, if you go to your show and you can't control your bladder for 48 minutes before you're going to have a fit, you need to go and see a doctor, not go and see a show. And this apparently inspired this. Who work in the area of female incontinence? Do you know about it? And not only urinary incontinence, John, but there's she revealed to me the other night by email that there's a certain amount of fecal incontinence in the show.
No shit.
Am I still breaking up, or did you get that?
You break up mostly in the middle, but it's going to be even funnier, probably, and you came back at the end, as the phrase goes.
Wait, for fecal incontinence?
Indeed, yes. So people will be teased into seeing whatever the show's called that we don't really know.
Yes, it's called Gusset Grippers.
Yeah, that's right, something like that. And now, all right, along the lines of... anyone can act, it's not really a job. I did turn down an acting job this week, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Fringe,
because it was suggested to me that I could play God. Obviously, I wouldn't be acting with me.
No, of course not. And you've even got the beard.
Indeed, I was half the battle, apparently. And the idea was I should... if this bloke bunged me 50 quid for 3 minutes, why did I turn it down?
Exactly. John, if this bloke was prepared to bung you 50 quid for 3 minutes, why did you turn it down? Tell us.
Because I thought I would be criticised for thinking I was up my own arse. Because you know what people are like on Facebook.
We're back to gusset grippers again.
Yes, indeed. Not that I object to putting my head up my arse, there's probably money in that. But the idea was I would come on as God, the Old Testament God, and then be a bad comic. And this was either going to look as though I was someone who thought he was a good comic, but was shit. Or it looked as though... I was so self-important, I thought this would be interesting because I was so important. So, of course, I suggested you should do it instead, with a beard.
Because I am.
You can get away with it.
I do think that I'm that important, and I am a bad comic.
The only trouble with you is you could actually act it rather well, so you could actually act being a bad comic. But who knows? Anyway, this might happen or might not happen.
John, you forget.
So easily.
The part... is the character is the Hebrew God, and I am not only a shiksa,
you look Jewish,
but I'm a raging anti-Semite.
This is a reference to another tiff on Facebook. Well, so am I. Apparently, I'm a Holocaust denier. I think on the basis. Yeah.
God, John, your horrors are growing.
No. My email has been added to lists of Holocaust deniers on the internet. I think on the basis in one of our podcasts, I was stupid enough to mention or possibly even tell part of Lewis Schaefer, Jewish comedian's excellent Holocaust joke.
My goodness.
I mean, we can't really go into this because it would involve telling the punchline of the joke, but you can see why this might happen.
This is hilarious. You've gone in just a short while, and almost purely by association with me, you've gone from rape apologist.
No. I was never. I don't think I was ever a rape apologist.
I think you were, John. Because you platformed me.
I thought I only came on latterly, but anyway, there we go. So
rape apologist, anti-Semite, and now you're a Holocaust denier.
Yep. So I think I don't know if it
was... now would be the time to say, John, if there's any hint of paedophilia in your past, fess up now.
I put buggery behind me, and that's why I'm not a comedian. So I don't know if those, I don't know if Holocaust denier, anti-Semite, and rape apologist are the rule of three, or if it's just sort of the second two are sort of bunged together. Therefore, I need another one.
Yeah.
I think I should explain, but I
don't think either of us, under the Cirques, is the ideal casting for the Hebrew God Yahweh.
Well, he was.
Oh, you're not supposed to say his name, are you?
He'd be struck down. Well, he was a bit of a girl.
Again.
I mean, if he did anything wrong, he'd just sort of strike down or turn you to a pillar of salt. Very interesting theory, nothing to do with comedy, very interesting theory,
yep.
Jesus went to India, is the theory, isn't it?
Not
on the basis that usually Islam, this will get me beheaded, Islam, Judaism and Christianity are all basically the same religion, they go back to Abraham. So sort of they all vaguely come out of Judaism. And usually when one religion comes out of another religion, they're fairly similar. But what happened with Christianity is you've got an Old Testament God who will strike you down, destroy entire cities for just sort of looking askance, turn Lot's wife into a pillar of salt for just looking around.
Just for looking back, yeah.
So it really is an eye for an eye, whereas Christianity is turn the other cheek. Absolutely, totally different religion. I mean, nothing.
Yeah, so it's just unfortunate that they've slammed the two fucking testaments into one Bible.
Yeah. So the theory was that he'd actually been in the missing like 30 years or whatever it is. He's a child that he's 30 years old. In that gap, he'd somehow gone to India and
he'd gone on a massive gap year, the very first gap.
Hey.
Gap 30 years.
Although, to be honest, gap shops didn't exist then. And then he came back with all these sort of Indian ideas of passivity, which I think is a very interesting idea. And then, of course, the other idea is that, he wasn't killed on the cross because he was only up for an afternoon. It took about 2 weeks to die on the cross.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he actually went off back to India because there were talks of a Jesus-type person in India after he supposedly died.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, John, because in the papers today, along with, you know, genocide, ethnic cleansing, and government ministers running off with 4.3 billion shillings, the First Lady has gone walkabout somewhere in the Great Rift Valley, where there's a stone. So it's Kenya, the Great Rift Valley, the end that's closest to Nairobi. There's a stone that Jesus apparently sat on when he was walking around in that area.
Yeah. Well, of course, we all come from the Rift Valley anyway, don't we? We're all...
Well, more or less, apparently he was... So he got about a bit, didn't he?
Yeah. But talking of first men...
And all of that in sandals, in open-toed sandals, which is very impressive.
If Hollywood's to be believed. If Hillary Clinton becomes Madam President...
John, I'm having a bad enough day.
No, but the alternative is Trump. Presumably, Bill Clinton would be the first man, would he not? He's always the first lady, so he must be the first man. They have to call him the first man.
Oh, God, they couldn't... It's just horrific. I mean, it just doesn't bear thinking about. How could California do that? I thought thinking people were in... obviously, a lot of idiots are in California, but I thought... reasonably liberal thinking people were in California.
And they voted for
Bill Clinton with tits.
Well, the alternative is Bernie Sanders, who's about 185, isn't he?
Bernie Sanders is a decent bloke, something which is an anathema to American politics, of course, which is why they probably voted for Hillary.
And the only good thing he's done in his life is started that Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise.
Oh, hilarious, that's hilarious, why I'm not a comedian.
I was also offered a chance. No, I wasn't offered a chance. But then the lovely Dec Monroe, who's part of Angel Comedy 2, put a thing on Facebook saying, he said, I quote, because I've got it here,
uh-huh.
A teacher friend has been let down by someone who's running he's running a careers event and needs someone to talk about being a stand-up actor or similar. You would need to give a brief outline of your career, how to get into the industry, etc., and a Q&A session. So basically, school children in Bethnal Green are being told by the careers masters they should have a career in stand-up comedy.
Dear God in heaven, or wherever it is that he is or isn't.
You can call me John.
I think you should go along and just say, get a fucking life. Don't do it unless you're a self-obsessed, egotistical, overly opinionated, underly educated pain in the ass.
So basically you're saying you want to go for a job as a comedian?
I tried it and failed, John. Failed miserably.
You didn't fail, did you? Oh,
I was terrible. I was dreadful.
Why are you terrible? You're a good performer. The controversy.
Yes. But I was dreadful because then, like in the 90s.
1890s.
Thank you. Then... I was something that I criticise regularly in comics. There was nobody there. There was just this kind of. I wanted to stand up and impress people with how clever and funny I was, and that's not what being a comedian really is. I was doing it. There was nobody. There wasn't a person there. There was just a kind of a cipher who wasn't funny enough or clever enough to exist as a cipher. You know, if you aren't going to do purely clever lines, you've got to be Jimmy Carr. You've got to be as good as that. And, you know, I was nowhere near that good. I was nowhere near that brave. I was just nothing. I was just a pile of crap.
But is that
looking for people to laugh.
But it does take about three to six years to be a three to 6 years to be a good comic. If you kept at it, maybe you would have been a great comic.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's the other thing. I was insufficiently passionate about it. I was overly. I don't know. I certainly couldn't hack the bad gigs. Not that I ever had, you know, a terrible. I was never booed off or anything, but just the sheer untrammeled. Because I was used to being best, you know, at school and everything, and you know, sketch comedy and that sort of stuff. You know, I couldn't cope with me going on doing the Copstickian quips, which were really quite shit. And they were dishonest. They were derivative. They were dire, really dire. And then, you know, getting mild laughter and a patter of applause, and then. You know, the one I remember most, which I've told you before, Ross Noble coming on, being completely anarchic, you know, ruining the curtains at the back of the stage and tearing the place apart. That was not a world that I understood, and then I was too, I don't know, too shallow and too shallow to want to know about it.
Well, I mean, this was 20 years ago, so you were only about 15 or something, weren't you?
No.
Ah, right.
Thank you for that, John. But no.
I try my best.
But I wasn't honest enough, certainly not honest enough. I didn't know who I was, even though I was well old enough, I should have known who I was. You know, so to that extent, the good comics are hugely admirable in that, you know, they're as people, they're on it, they know who they are, I think. But we have got so many, you know, thousands of the fuckers now, and we are mired in mediocrity and worse. Sometimes, you know, a show will peak at mediocre, and that's just not good enough.
So why has Jimmy Carr got a job as a comic, and people who are at a lower level, you said, aren't doing a job? So they're doing jobs badly, but they're still doing a job.
I suppose so, yes, all right, I suppose so. But it's, you know, I still, you know, you still have to accept that as a stand-up, this is a career that you have chosen. Nobody goes, well, you know, if all else fails, I'll be a stand-up. It's a career that you've chosen because you want to do it. Because you want. And you get applauded.
It's a vocation.
It's not a vocation. I don't think it's a vocation.
It's a desperation.
These are people either who believe they have things to say that people should hear, or people who think they're hilariously funny. And people who are not content to be a hilariously funny doctor and actually do something that helps people while still being hilariously funny. People who think that being, you know, funny is enough and that they should get paid and applauded for it, and that nobody should ever criticise them for it, and that no audiences should ever be horrible or fail to understand some of their gags. But, you know, I don't... What I'm saying about not a job, they're not doing any good for anybody, anywhere in the whole world, except themselves. You know, 20 minutes of making people giggle in a club while they're having a beer. It's a very selfish job.
The thing about
now I'm calling it a job. It's a very selfish job. You're doing it for you, you know, I really that you know why do you want me to stand up and pat you on the back as well? No, you want to be a comic, great, you be a comic. If you're a good comic, that's fantastic. If you're a bad comic, that's just appalling, and you're wasting my life and everybody else's life who comes to see you. But don't think you're putting any good into the world. You're not. You know, a dustbin man is taking away the rubbish. You know, a prostitute is giving somebody an orgasm. You're one of a dozen people that people pay a fiver to see while drinking overpriced lager.
And on that climactic thought, I think we better finish. So we're going to have another attempt next week to do this by the interweb, aren't we? And then you're back in London.
And let's hope we don't break up, yes. I can't wait.
How could we break up, Copstick? It's been so long.
Have we stopped?
No, we haven't, because I